All right, we're back on WPTF at 906, 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF. You're listening to The Weekend Gardener. Mike Raley here, along with Gerald Adams and Rufus Edmonston, former Attorney General, Secretary of State, and also the current Secretary General of Gardening.
Yeah, that had made me 1 pound lighter, or 1 degree smarter, or anything like that.
It's a great title.
But it is a great title. And by the way,
I don't have a lot of responsibility either.
I had a great visit the other day from one of our panelists, Nelsa, came by the office on
I know. She
Wednesday.
Remembered, and she was so, gave me some, gave us tomatoes and blueberries that they had grown out at her farm. And she remembered that I like small blueberries and, you know,
yeah,
ones that are just kind of turning and not bitter, but a little tang to them.
This right in the cereal. I had blackberries this morning, and she brought some figs. And
She brought figs. Now, you know, I've been reading about figs, become very interested in figs, a lot of different varieties. But we've always talked about Celeste being the fig being large, and the I keep reading that it's a small fig.
Not on my bush.
So what is the big one? I mean, she gave us some really big ones.
Yeah.
So what are they all?
She said they were turkey, the one she gave me.
Brown
okay.
turkey.
Okay, so
it's not a huge one. It's a, you know, what I call average, regular size.
Now, Phil has one out there that they're fairly big, and I think she called that a Celeste.
Yes, I think Phil's is a Celeste.
Well, I don't understand. I mean, these are Extension Service articles that I've been reading. And at various, you know, centers around the state.
Well, so every year when I have maybe 10 or 15, very early, before July, on my Celeste trees, about as big as a tennis ball. Then the rest are still larger than the brown turkey, I think.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, that's generally speaking been my experience. One of the things, we are in the edge of the zone for a lot of figs, and one of the reasons that brown turkey has been so popular, and Celeste too, they're more cold hardy. They can take a lower winter temperature.
There are others, but those are the main ones.
There's a Chicago one and there's a black one, but there are lots of other figs that you would have to be much farther south to grow, and we don't talk about them because they don't really they won't work here.
Right.
Well, I think when you think of figs, of our friend George at Roast Grill, back behind in his backyard is a huge, huge fig tree that was brought over by his ancestors.
Yeah, grandmother.
Yeah. Grandmother. And
I think Phil got some cuttings from that.
It is just magnificent.
I've made him a number of cuttings off of it.
Well, that's right. You did.
And it's an unusual, of course, obviously it's a Greek fig, and it's kind of green on the outside, the skin, and red on the inside.
Yeah.
So
it's very
good.
Very different looking.
I haven't eaten one. Are they fairly similar to what we have?
I think that it's probably a variety that normally maybe wouldn't be as hardy here. And I think this one, because it was planted right up literally next to the house, was in a very protected area, but it's very large and very old, and But, you know, when I made the cuttings for them, I think they've all lived. So I think it's maybe a little more cold-hearted. And lots of times when you hear people talking about Mediterranean figs, most of those varieties probably
now, I do have one cutting, Gerald, here that you gave me from the when you were at the mansion. What was that?
That's brown turkey.
Yeah.
That's brown turkey.
Yeah. It hadn't fruited yet.
And I assume that thing is still growing over there.
Yeah, last time.
It was a couple of years ago when I was there.
It's huge. The brown turkey, you can have a few what I call premature figs, but usually it's pretty close to the 1st of August when it's kicking into high gear. Last week of July, first week in August.
Are you getting any fruit?
Well, I had that kicker that Gerald talked about always, that the golf ball size, and now they're about 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe 1st of August. Yeah.
Mine doesn't get as much sun as it should, but
and I'm going to lop mine way off next year. They're up above the roof, and that doesn't do me any good except the birds. I like to feed them, but I'd like to be able to reach it myself.
Yeah.
So they will fruit on
new wood, so you can whack one however you want every year, and you're not knocking out your fig production.
Okay. All right. Very good. Lewis has been waiting a long time. Lewis, I'm sorry about that. My buddy from Rocky Mountain. Lewis, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing real well. How are you doing?
Well, we're okay.
Y'all talking about figs. My folks retired down to Surf City and right on the waterway there, but had a beautiful fig tree right there in the front yard at Surf City, just, 50 feet from the water, and that tree produced wonderful figs, and my mom would make delicious fig preserves and scrambled eggs and bacon and toast with that fig preserve, and you're nothing better than breakfast at the beach. But those figs were wonderful and growing right there by the water. So
you are right, breakfast at the beach is really good.
I know it.
I don't know what makes a difference, especially if you have a good view. Hey, speaking of Topsail Island, there the manatees that were down at Wrightsville made it into Topsail Sound yesterday. There were about eight or nine of them.
That is wonderful.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's incredible. Somebody had a drone out, and they were out there.
I didn't know they went that far north.
Well, they just, I guess they got curious and decided to come on up. Maybe it got too hot down there.
One of the rarest sea turtles in the world made its way up into one of our beaches this week.
There was
a news story about it on Channel 7, and it was really, it's just heartwarming, really, and how nature works and the aquatic areas.
Yeah.
But we've had some weather around here that's similar to Cape Fear with this tropical stuff we had yesterday.
I'm telling you, it felt tropical.
Yeah, Cape Fear. The movie Cape Fear with Robert De Niro, which was the remake of the original with Robert Mitchum.
Both of them very scary to me.
You ain't kidding. But you might recall that the plot of the movie with De Niro was that Max Cady, his character, was so incensed by the fact that Nick Nolte, his former defense lawyer, had buried some evidence that might have exonerated him, even though he was an atrocious criminal. But he set upon that to go after that family and terrorize the heck out of them. Well, you know what happened yesterday? Because some buried evidence was discovered in the Rust trial, Alec Baldwin's case was dismissed.
That's right.
It was dismissed by the judge who had thrown the book at the armorer and given her the maximum sentence. But that's the way it just has to work for judicial fairness to happen.
Yeah, very interesting case. I thought about you because you being in the movie business. I thought about you and what was going on there.
I did a long form interview on the Rust situation with Gail Hurd during the Hannah Gutierrez Reed trial, and so we were prepping to get another one in, but it's over. It is over.
Yeah, that's very, very extraordinary. It really is.
But anyway, I'm glad to get in touch with you, Mike, and Rufus, and everybody. And just as you know, everybody in Nashville says, "Hey."
Well, hey, hey, everybody in Nashville. We'll be back next year. Well, actually, we'll probably come down there in October and eat lunch with Cliff Joyner, but we're going to broadcast the Weekend Gardener from the Extension Service again next April.
So, yeah, they were so happy to have y'all, and I know
we had a great time. Great time. We were in a rush. We didn't get a
great weekend, and keep them flying.
You know? All right, keep them growing, as John Harris used to say. Yeah.
Take care.
Thank you, Lewis. Yeah, we had such a great time, and we, Rufus is a busy man. We had to get to another engagement.
Yeah, and did a good job there.
We had a good time there too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so you know, it's
and thank you for helping me.
Yes, sir.
I'll say it again. I'm amazed at the complex that you have there in Nashville for agriculture and all things related to
it. It's a fine little town. It's one of the prettiest towns in North Carolina to me.
Yeah.
We
had a machine out there, though, that I still want to know what it was that was sitting there on the ground.
Oh, an implement. You didn't ask Colby?
Well, he said, yes, it was something to do with planting, but Gerald, it was almost like a locomotive train. Hoses sticking down in the ground, and had to be some kind of a planting machine. It's like it had vacuums on it. What in the world would that be?
I don't know. I don't remember exactly what it looked like.
It hadn't been used in a while, I could tell that.
Yeah, it didn't have an engine on it, did it?
No, it didn't.
Yeah. So it was something that hooks to a tractor. But yeah. I don't know what you have to pick up, what it was built to pick up.
Pick up or put in.
Put in, yeah. Joe is with us. Joe, good morning, you're on WPTF.
Hey, I'm looking for a good tree to grow in the sandy soil that can withstand, a Category 1 hurricane.
Now, are you at the beach, or are you talking about down east, a little closer?
A little bit closer to the beach, about 50 miles from the beach.
I don't know.
Sandy soil.
Something.
Well, how big do you want it to be?
Lower
deciduous
growing.
Or evergreen? Or
I wouldn't grow anything very tall.
Well, it'll be close to the house. I just don't want it to. I'm seeing these places where people are planting a huge tree, and next thing it falls on top
of
the house.
Yeah, I was about to say, don't plant anything tall that grows tall down at the beach. I mean, there's some tall palms, but it's.
Would an osmanthus grow there?
Yes.
A what?
Osmanthus is really a shrub.
But you can make it a tree.
But they,
I've got some 30 feet tall, I know.
They can get pretty tall. They bloom spring and fall, has a tiny little white bloom that you almost don't pay attention to, but they're very fragrant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's evergreen. From a distance, the leaves looks kind of like a holly from a distance. It has an evergreen, that kind of size leaf.
You know,
they're not thorny.
Something in the same realm and something I know that does really well on the coast of North Carolina, if you're at the beach, Pittosporum. They're an evergreen shrub, and they grow very well. Palm trees maybe crepe myrtles, wax myrtles, Japanese black pines are the trees the tree-like things that you see. Okay. They're probably more shrubs. You know, some of the bigger shrubs like Pittosporum and Indian hawthorn.
Okay, I'm going to add a little more curve to it, trying to be a little more environmental. I'm looking for one also that, for global warming, what's the best one to absorb carbon dioxide with the tree?
That's a very good question.
It sure is. I don't know if you need something with big leaves or.
Well, I think you probably get back. The evergreen's going to obviously be more than a deciduous tree because it's going to have leaves on it year round in that regard. So with that would knock. You know, one of the great things about crepe myrtles is that you rarely ever see one of even a big one blown over because the root system's so massive. But then again, if you're putting it close to your house, you don't want that root system, you know, trying to mess with your foundation. So that's part of the issue with some of the trees that are going to be more stable, even something that gets a little taller, 25, 30 foot, it's going to have a pretty vigorous root system. So when you say close to your house, you mean 50 foot from the house or 10 foot from the house. That's kind of a little bit of the issue.
Okay, yeah. Well, biggest thing I've always been told, stay 20 feet away from the house.
Yes.
No, you're right about that.
Yes, unless it's some kind of little ornamental, you know, a little small red bud, a dogwood tree or something, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I just love palm trees. I'm sorry you didn't call last week because we had a botanist on, and he is also known all over the country as an expert on palm trees. And North Carolina doesn't have anything really in the palm realm that is native, because I think South Carolina is probably the closest. But we can still grow things like, I have a windmill palm in my yard. And, you know, they can get 20 feet tall if they're really, really happy over time.
How about temperature-wise?
You get you can grow a windmill palm in Maryland or, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. But they don't need a lot of sun, which is they're happier probably in sun. So if you're near the coast, I just love palms. But there are a lot of things. You can grow most anything that you can here.
The biggest thing is to be withstand a category, at least a Category 1 hurricane. I'm trying to be preventive maintenance.
Well, that's kind of, the first thing is you just hope your house is going to withstand it. And I don't know. I think people, start cutting down pine trees about this time of year, because they're worried about pine trees falling over in their house. And we really saw that when Fran came through. We lost a lot of pine trees. But oak trees, with all those big roots, they're still very top heavy. And they have those big leaves and all that weight up top. And they're going to fall over sometimes just as easily.
I've seen with the oak trees, I remember Hurricane Hazel, sort of telling them about my age now. The oak trees in my area just fell over.
Yeah.
And though they have a good root system, but it doesn't go down very deep in the ground.
Right.
And when the ground gets saturated, they fall over.
Yeah.
I think the live oak may be a little bit better at that, because, one, they tend to get a little wider and not quite as tall.
Yeah.
But
you could probably, I don't know, you might be able to grow a live oak up this way. I don't know how far north, because
beautiful live oak right at the corner of the Capitol.
Well, that's right.
And I planted one in front of the governor's.
That's right. So yeah, but the live oak is going to be pretty big.
Yeah.
But a lot of them have. I mean, they've withstood.
Been around a long time.
Yeah. Look what's Joe. Look what has withstood. Look what is mature on the coast, tree wise.
Or in your area, within a 10-mile circle
and,
of your
and
home.
And see what has survived, because we've had a fair amount of hurricanes over the years.
This osmanthus we were talking about, it's not a heavy tree. The trunk never gets over 10, maybe 8 or never over 8 feet in diameter, real bushy, but it couldn't. I could take it up and drop it on the house with a helicopter. It wouldn't hurt anything.
Yeah, because it's got so many leaves on it. I mean, it's got a lot of padding, as it were.
Sweet tea olive is what we're talking about, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, we grow it because it's reliable and it has good fragrance, but it looks like a shrub that you've cut up to look like a tree, kind of like a camellia would look.
Well, you put out a little pamphlet, I think, once a month or something like that, or used to. That would be nice to have a nice article on giving people what some good trees to plant.
Well, I wrote an article, and I don't know if it was in the spring issue, possibly. It may have been the last issue. It was sometime recently that I wrote an article about what to plant on the coast, and I'm trying to remember everything.
I think it was in the summer issue, Mike, you included palm. Maybe. You wrote it on palm. You got spring. A couple articles in the summer issue.
Well, spring, summer. I don't know. At any rate, it was sometime recently, and I'll. So I have written something on that, but and I've given you things off the top of my head that I can think of,
okay,
tree-wise.
Good ideas. I'll need to look into it.
Yeah. We've kind of given you some things to think about. And the Extension Service, I don't know which county you're talking about, but I know New Hanover Extension, probably New Hanover would have some really good stuff. That's a great extension service group down there. They have a botanical garden. And so if you're near Wilmington, you can probably pick up something there and visit their botanical garden. It's just off Oleander.
Okay, well, I'll do some more research, and I'll go from there then. But I sure do appreciate it.
All righty. Well, thank you very much, Joe. Good questions.
You have a nice day.
You too. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
All right, 926 WPTF time, 919-860-9783. More coming up here on WPTF.